Calling to order the meeting of the Sussex Academy Executive Board, October 17th, 4:04 PM. Jennifer Scott, Board President.
Susie Mitchell.
Chris Moody.
Board Member, sorry.
Chris Moody, Board Member.
Denise Westbrook, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director of Finance.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Janet Owens, Director.
Gina Derrickson, Director of Development.
Randy Silcock, Director of Human Resources.
Lauren Wisely, Board Member.
Joe Schell, Board Member.
Heather Crown, Board Member.
Eric Anderson, Executive Director.
We also have some guests. Could you announce yourselves, please?
Brian Dayton, Parent.
First Sergeant, Barbara Game Board Company.
Sarah Messina, Teacher.
Great, thank you all for coming. First was as usual. Okay, so first order of business is to approve the minutes from September. Has everyone had an opportunity to read them? Any comments or changes necessary? All right, may I have a motion, please, to approve the minutes from the September 12th board meeting?
Actually, I'm sorry. Jen, I had sent some changes to Andrea about the votes, and I'm seeing one on here, it's just 13-0. It could not have been 13-0 for the ad hoc committee.
Oh, it should be 12-0.
And all the rest of them on this page still haven't been updated. So
need to be updated?
On the third page, they're all still 13-0.
Oh, I thought Andrea had changed them.
Maybe
it should say 13.
Okay, so it shouldn't say 13, it should say 12.
Bless you.
Okay, so then if we change them all to 12. Okay, Alan, thank you. Any other changes? Okay, so there's a motion on the table to approve these minutes. Susie, did you make the motion?
I can make a motion to approve the September minutes.
Could you make the motion to approve the minutes as amended?
As amended. I make a motion to approve the September minutes as amended.
Okay, may I have a second?
Second.
Chris Moody seconds. Any further discussion?
I'm retiring. If you won't hear my voice, I'm retiring.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay, great. Next order of business is the auditor's report. We have Mr. Sawyer here from our accounting firm. He's here to go over high level, because we went through it pretty, I'm not planning to do your job, but
that's
all right. We've seen it before.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tim Sawyer from Barbican Thornton & Company, the partner on your engagement. We met with the CBOC back in September and went through the statements in depth. So I'm kind of here to give you a high-level overview. So I passed out, everybody should have, hopefully, a audit package, little presentation on the audit results. So if you want to flip to page 2, we'll get started right away. So this is just a overall audit summary. So we were on site here for the week. That ended August 2nd. That's the week we did our field work and all our testing on site. We are issuing unmodified or clean audit opinions on the different opinion units in your statements, which are all listed there. We did not detect any issues with our audit testing, so everything went fine. And as you can see, there was one open item when we did this in September, which was filing with the state, which was done. It was the first because the 30th was on a Sunday. So your statements were all sent in to the Department of Education and the accounting officer's office. On page 3 and 4, we have some financial highlights just to point out a couple of your major balances. So the first chart we have is your cash, capital assets, accrued salaries, and debt, which are your biggest pieces. Your cash and your pooled cash, you can see, went from 2.3 up to 2.6 million. Your capital assets, net of depreciation, so you can see the depreciation is bringing it down a little bit from 888 to 859. Accrued salaries went up from 827 to 1,039,000. And then the only piece of debt that the school had was a capital lease on a bus that was paid off, so you went from 32,000 down to nothing. The next chart on the bottom is your fund balance. So this is your, basically everything is unassigned, which means it's available for you to use for the operations of the school. You're at 1,005,000 compared to 1,005,000 the year before. The big discussion that we had was on page 4 with your net pension and OPEB liabilities. For those of you that maybe have been on the board for a couple of years, 3 years ago, we had to start picking up the net pension liability, your portion of the state's plan, and report it as a liability on the books. This past year, GASB statements, number 75, made us do the same thing for the OPEB liability, which is other post-employment benefits. It's basically the health insurance, so we picked that up as well. And that was your biggest change this year. You see the net pension liability in 16 was 822,000, then it went up to 2.2 million, and it's now at 2.4 million. And that has to do with a lot, they have an actuarial evaluation come in and determine what that liability is, and you pick up your percentage. The state's plan is, if you look at the chart on the bottom at the top, in 2016 it was 92.6% funded, then it went down 84.1%, and then this year it's back up to 85.3% funded. As far as state pension plans go across the country, Delaware is one of the better ones. Right around here, New Jersey's is not good. Pennsylvania's is probably about 52% funded. So the state's plan is pretty well funded, but your portion of that liability is a decent amount. Now the other post-employment benefit or OPEB plan, you can see there we picked up almost $13.4 million of a liability on yours. This Delaware state plan is a pay-as-you-go plan, so it is not funded. They basically just fund it as they have to. It is 4% funded, so that's why that liability is huge. And unfortunately, with both of these liabilities, there's really nothing you can do because it's up to the state-run plan and the trustees that are running that plan to kind of fund it and keep the assets going. But we were required to put those on your government-wide statement, so they are reflected there. But your fund balance, which is your day-to-day operations of the school, more on what we consider modified cash basis as opposed to full accrual. So that reflects more of what your day-to-day operations are in the financial reports you're used to seeing. On pages 5 and 6, what we've done here is I presented the financial piece of your state matrix framework. And you can see here, if you take a quick glance, that you meet standards in all 8 of the categories for the financial matrix. And when we met with the CBOC committee, we went over these in detail and then we pointed out some issues. I'm not sure, has Brooke done anything as far as these numbers go yet from the state?
I did. There was a meeting today, but that was not on the agenda.
But I did point out to there's a couple of the ratios where they have to add back the stuff for the net pension and OPEB liabilities. When we were here, I pointed out to Alan where some of those numbers are if they come back and say you don't meet one of them, because we did the calculations backing out those numbers and you meet everything. There's one that puts you on the borderline if they forget to back that number out. But we've got you meeting all your financial framework matrices. The final two pages, 7 and 8, just go over our required communications. The big ones, obviously, are that you have unmodified or clean audit opinions. And on page 8, the second bullet point down is the fraud and illegal acts. And we are not aware of any fraud or illegal acts from the results of our testing. So overall, it was a clean audit. Went very smoothly.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions related to the results, the summary, or on the financial statements?
I have a question. In terms of our reserve, do we have a amount that we put into the reserve every year? I'm doing that LTR study, and they asked what our balance was, and then do we have an annual contribution that's set that we say we put in so much into it per year to add into the analysis? I didn't know what that number was.
No, I think what we say is that we, from a policy perspective, will not fall below, and I forget what the number was. We would maintain reserves, but we don't make a statement relative to annual contributions.
So what happens?
Can we just stop for one sec? You came late. You need to put your name on the record, please.
Steve Burke, treasurer.
So is that other Steve?
Also,
Steve Oscar, public.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Public. Lance, what usually happens is at the end of the year, when we get the final results for the year, there's usually a surplus, and that dumps into the reserve. But it could be a dollar, it could be $100,000, it could be.
But we have to keep a certain percentage in the reserves at all times. It's a percent of our budget.
Yeah. Right, but for the long-term reserve analysis and calculation, what do we assume? We assume zero? I mean, I can assume zero.
When we start out, the budget is always balanced, so we will add nothing to the reserve.
I would use the number that we're required to have, which is what the state requires us to have, correct?
But then the available for long-term repairs is zero, right? Because that's
what no, the available is going to be what's in there, but it's just the adding to it. So we're going to do a 20-year study, so if I say that we're going to add zero to it, then it's going to show a deficiency at some point in time.
Well, you could take an average of maybe the last 5 years. What if we put in over the last 5 years and use that as
It's part of the chart of modification.
It's just a calculation. It's not going to be perfect. Yeah. It's just if we assume that over a 5 year, we take that average, this is where we will be in 16 years. Okay.
I can provide that number for you.
But we don't have an ongoing plan to build the reserve.
Any questions for Mr. Swin?
It's about $100,000 because it's going up $500,000 since we moved in here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we already voted on this at the last meeting. So do we need to vote again, Alan?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Great.
I would just like to make one comment on about page 4. USDA just turned down a loan application from Providence Creek because of the OPEB. So it is going to impact individuals' abilities, charter schools' abilities to get loans unless something is done.
Thank goodness we don't need any real estate loans anymore.
Well, until we get to my part. I'm not allowed to speak again.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Sawyer.
Thanks for letting one thing we have talked about, but we haven't made much headway on it, related to those and doing statements for loans if you should need anything. And one of the things we were trying to work on is getting the Department of Ed, as a charter school, you're also a nonprofit organization. So right now your statements are done under GASB, which is a government accounting standards. We've kind of introduced and are trying to push to get them to accept FASB, which is the financial accounting standards statements, in which case you would not have to put either the net pension liability or OPEB on your books. Which is more reflective of what you actually do as a entity anyway. And then that alleviates that issue of having to explain or try to get around that when you go for loans. Because obviously putting a $13 million liability on your books throws you into a deficit position. Mm-hmm. And we've had charter schools in Pennsylvania that have done that going to FASB. So, and then they can get financing on their own.
Because they're a nonprofit that allows them to go to FASB?
And PA, Department of Ed, takes their statements that way. But it's much more beneficial when they go for financing not to have to try to explain those liabilities or have them on the books.
Okay, great.
Questions?
All right, thank you.
If anybody does
so
have
much.
Any questions, let Alan know and get a hold of me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, next, public comments? Okay.
It's too early.
Too early? All right.
Got to know them up yet.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, my kids still want a guidance counselor. Is that still in the thinking?
Yeah. You mean a an academic guidance counselor or a emotional guidance counselor?
Well,
yes.
Full
yeah.
Services.
Yeah. Full yeah, services. I want one too.
Okay. So.
All right. So, executive director report.
All right. So, Gina, you're taking the notes today, right? I'll give this to you when I'm done, so you don't have to worry about capturing everything. All right. So we've had a very busy month since our last board meeting. So I'm just going to go and update you everything that happened. So both middle school and high school held their open houses, and we had fairly successful new parent socials. I know that Gina did a debrief and got a lot of feedback from that, and she's taking all that information into consideration for how we'll handle that next year. I've been holding lunches with students on a weekly basis. So I met with SGA officers first in the high school, and then for the past 3 weeks, I met with a group of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders just to see certain things, how school year's going. But one of the big focuses is talking with 8th graders and what are they looking for when they're going to select a high school. Our partnership with the Freeman Foundation was a success again this year. The Mayhem Pellets came and did an assembly of one poetry with our high school students. It was very popular. Students really enjoyed it. They came during one of our activity periods, and then additionally they followed up with some classroom workshops with Common Room's 10th grade English classes. During the week of September 24th through the 28th, we participated in the Start With Hello initiative. The idea came to me from Kathleen Schell, and she put a lot into helping us get the week up and running. For example, we were able to offer several raffle prizes to students. So Lefties gave us 12 $30 gift cards. Midway gave us 12 movie passes, gift cards, and the PTO donated Sussex Academy gear to be raffled off. And students were given, we had things called kindness cards that were handed out to kids whenever they committed an act of kindness, demonstrated 3 R's, or participated in the daily kindness challenge. Mrs. Leonard, she created a resource table full of different resources that she collected on kindness and inclusivity, and she also displayed a kindness pledge. Every student during the lunch on Friday at the end of the week wrote a pledge on how they would continue to demonstrate kindness, inclusivity through the remainder of the year, and we displayed all those cards up on the library windows, and that looked really nice. On Monday, the following Monday, at the end of the beginning of the next week, Ms. Derrickson arranged for the Kudos bus from the Shell Brothers to come and be on display during all lunches, and students were able to take write kudos messages to family, friends, classmates, and stick those stickers on the bus. They had a lot of fun with that, and they also gave the students a bunch of free giveaways like notebooks and pencils. And they also left a kudos wall that we're now having displayed in the office so that staff can give each other kudos throughout the year. We had our class pictures and our student individual pictures on October 1st. That was a success. They were just distributed today. So students should be getting their pictures and taking them home. We've had a number of field trips already. Our 6th grade team took their students to the Washington, D.C. Zoo. Our 7th grade team took their students to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And our 9th graders went to a ropes course right outside of Baltimore for some team building activities for a day. That was a big success. We held our strategic plan kickoff with staff and board members on September 26th. That was on one of our early release days. I felt it was a good opportunity for staff to start getting their minds ready and prepared for the strategic planning process. Dr. Uday Johnny and Heather Crown and Susie Mitchell were all board members that were in attendance.
You were a faker.
We met as a board, the strategic planning board ad hoc committee met, and we have established dates for our town hall meetings, and the first one is scheduled for next Wednesday, June 24th. We had a full day of service on October 12th. Middle school teachers had parent conferences and team time in the afternoon. Our high school teachers did a variety of things, but the big thing was our 9th and 10th grade high school teachers participated in our IB MYP launch, where we brought a representative from the IB program to meet and give an overview of what that process is going to look like for MYP. We have teachers that are currently participating in Mindfulness PD on Monday and Wednesday morning, so we have a representative from Minds Over Matter that's coming in and introducing mindful practices for the teachers, so they start their day off with some mindful practices, and some of the feedback that I've gotten is that it makes a difference in their day in a positive way. So the idea would be that they would do those practices and then take them back to their classrooms and to continue by maintaining a personal mindful practice. I have a math specialist coming next week for 3 days on Wednesday and Thursday, where he's going to observe math teachers in action, look at our curriculum, our vertical alignment, and then on Friday, on our early release day, we'll meet as an entire math department to discuss the path forward. Our 11th graders took the PSAT on October 10th. Debbie Thies was charged, and she rocked it. She's in here.
She's ill.
Oh, yeah. So that went well. All of our 11th graders took it. Those who did not pay to take the test, Debbie created a mock test for them and went through the scoring with them. So every 11th grader participated in some form of the PSAT. Our Little Women musical tryouts took place, and all the roles have been assigned, and rehearsals are currently underway. Homecoming week. We are in the midst and middle of homecoming week. Michael Schaefer and Sarah Messina are our SGA advisors who've been working tirelessly to have a great week for our students. We have Spirit Day themes. Monday's theme was USA Day. Tuesday's theme was Fictional Characters Day. Today was Tacky Tours Day. Tomorrow is Mathlete versus Athlete. And then there will be Color Wars on Friday. Friday is a very busy day for all of us. We have we'll be having our pep rally in the afternoon. Students in the high school will participate only in the pep rally. After the second high school lunch, students will return to their classrooms where they'll prepare for the pep rally, make signs, do pace paint, get them really excited for the festivities, and then they'll all report to the gym for the pep rally. Following the pep rally, that will be the end of the day where we'll have cross country, field hockey, volleyball, and high school soccer night game, and our homecoming court will be announced at pep rally, but they'll also be announced at the soccer game during halftime where the king and queen will be crowned. Following the soccer game, we will have a bonfire, and all the permits have been secured for that. Fire company will be
here. Are they on alert?
Yeah, that's what we'll have people here. Fire, we'll have representatives here. And the PTO is providing a brownie sundae bar for the students, which is nice. They also are providing sports boosters. I'm not PTO, the sports boosters. Mm-hmm. So make sure they call it the sports boosters. They're providing the brownie bar. The sports boosters also have funded a photo booth for the high school homecoming dance. The middle school will not be participating in the bonfire, but they will be having their own carnival slash dance on Friday evening in the cafeteria or gymnasium.
Could you just pause for a minute?
Yes.
Whoever just entered, could you please announce yourselves?
Brian Trout.
Board member.
Board member.
Rehana Rizvi. I have two children going in 6th and 8th grade.
Thank you. Sorry.
And then the high school homecoming week will come to an end with the high school dance from 7 to 10 p.m. here at school. Whew. All right. College application week. This is actually college application month. Every school is to designate a week in that month as College Application Week. We've designated next week as College Application Week. We'll kick off the week on Monday, where staff and students can wear college attire on that day.
Stop. Can you announce yourself, please?
Shanta Wilkinson.
Board member.
Board member.
Sorry.
We have some additional events that are coming up, which I'll obviously mention how they go in my November report, but just to give you the heads up and put them on your radar, October 30th, we'll be holding our legislative breakfast.
Anyone who has not RSVP'd to Gina, please do so.
October 31st, we'll be having Peter Van Buskart, who is an expert in applying to colleges, and the whole college application process, coming to speak to our students during the school day. He's doing two presentations, one presentation in the morning for all students, and then kind of like a, how can I say, a tutorial on applying to college for juniors and seniors in the afternoon. Parents are invited to come to those. It would be great for them to come and get insights so that they can assist their student in the college application process. We'll be holding a modified schedule for high school that day, so that we're able to fit in both of those assemblies.
Will there be times sent out by email?
Yeah, so the times have been sent out, and they're also posted on the school's Facebook page. Okay. Just a reminder from the Delaware Charter School Network that the IDEA Awards are in Newark on November 2nd. That's the Friday before fall break. And so if you're interested in going to that, just let Jen know.
Should we do a table?
Could we do a table? Yeah.
We normally do.
We normally do a table. Okay. So did they send us a flyer or anything?
Check.
Okay.
I know that they've sent stuff out, but I don't know if there's been a table. But she's sent a few emails. I'll look in for them.
Yeah, like what's our deadline for getting the table? Okay, I'll look into that.
November 2nd.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be right up until the deadline.
This
or
is
the
DEA thing that we're talking about.
And I'm not sure. I haven't gotten any information if anybody from Sussex Academy has been nominated. That information was supposed to come out, but I haven't gotten an email, so I don't know if we have anyone nominated for it. So.
Don't we nominate ourselves?
We nominate ourselves or people in the community, but I don't know if anybody was nominated for sure. So I'll look at that and if we want a table, if there's no nominees.
Yeah.
But we will have student performers that will be there.
Ours?
Ours, so students from the Little Room.
Okay.
Performance.
Let's try to get some people there, guys.
And then fall break begins Friday, November 2nd, and it'll go through Monday, November 12th, which is Veterans Day. Once we return from fall break, we will continue to be busy. We will be holding both our middle school and high school open houses, and we will conclude the remainder of our town hall meetings for our strategic planning process. Our fall fling is Friday, November 16th. You can still buy tickets. We've created a new office, we have a director of human resources in our newly created human resources office, and Franny is here today, so put a name with the face. Franny, wave to everybody.
Franny.
And I see that that's under new business, so we'll talk about that further later. And then just some staff highlights and updates. Sixth grade Team Everest math teacher Jamie Bader got married last week or 2 weeks ago. She is now Jamie Marshall. Andrea Rogers became a grandma for the first time today.
Well, maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet, but she left
on Friday
night. She is supposed to be a grandma by the end of the day. And just last night, our seventh grade Team Phoenix social studies teacher Josh Bow, his wife, was named the Delaware State Teacher of the Year from Seaford.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool and quite the honor. And that concludes my report.
Any questions? All right. Monthly board financials.
Al and I kind of got our wires a little crossed, but if you go to the back page of the financial packet, page 8.
I have color ones.
You do have color ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I have comments.
That's a fast wait to color one.
What's that?
Wait until we get the color one.
They're no different. It's just,
you can actually see the
my
color.
My comments are not on the chart.
Do you want them on there?
I did want them on there. So overall, we're still calling ourselves yellow at this point, but we have some good news to share. For the month of September, it was a pretty good month relative to spending. Spending was about, we look at that again from a time-paced perspective. Month by month, we anticipate that it's pretty linear. Last month, we spent about 0.5% below a time-paced expenditure. So we caught up in terms of the gap that we had last month on the expenses, which is good news. The other piece of good news, which is really good news, if you recall last month when we spoke, we had preliminary unit counts that looked a little unusual given the growth in our enrollment. And Alan went back and reconciled those numbers with the state. We had, just for your information, we had 753 students last year and unit count of 43.93. And this year we have 795 students with a new unit count of 44.74. So we actually went up instead of down year over year. The good news is that comes with some extra funding associated with it. So we're up about $150,000 versus what you saw last month from a unit count perspective. There was incremental funding for transportation as well included in that true up. So that's good news, and that really closes the gap that we saw last month that we were talking about, more or less. If you recall, we had a $165,000 gap. We had some puts and takes, but most of it was coming out of unfunded teacher salaries. And with this extra 150, we're down to a very small gap. We still need the reserve. We're still projecting that we're using the reserve in our financials, but we don't have to increase our lien on the reserve as we thought we might have to do. So that's good news this early in the year.
That's great news.
Yeah, I hope it keeps improving, but it doesn't change our preliminary budget estimate from the reserve use of about $153,000 that we had plugged into to this plan. So hopefully that'll continue to improve.
What? Susie has a question.
I'm sorry, if we have $150,000 more revenue, why doesn't it change our estimate of what we're taking out, we need to take out of reserve?
Because it was based on the budget that we had in place, so there were a number of adjustments that were outside of the budget. And we had upside in sales last time of about revenue of about $100,000. Now we have $250,000 versus what we had. So it covered the unfunded piece, the $234,000 in salaries that we projected last month.
Steve, I think she's asking a question. When will we revise the budget? Do we twice during the year?
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's why it's still showing $150,000 coming out of reserve, because we haven't resolved the budget.
We haven't changed the budget yet.
Okay, so when we do that,
revision?
It won't be revised until we have the actual finalized numbers for state and local from the state, which happens in January, February timeframe.
Okay. Thank you.
So from an expense perspective, we're still expecting that we're going to see an exposure versus this budget of about $234,000. There's health insurance overage associated with that of about $10,000 that we're projecting. We think we have some exposure on both contracted services and technology of about $10,000 each. That was the net $165,000 that we reviewed last time.
I'm sorry, wait, which two? $10,000 each?
It was
technology and contracted services.
Health insurance, contracted services, and technology, each $10,000 of exposure on the balance of the year. Contracted services looks like it's trending favorably at this point, but I think we anticipate some additional expenditures associated with the security upgrades. But I think we're in good shape. Good recovery, Alan. Nice job.
Yeah, thank you on the unit. Straighten out that unit,
something to be doing. A lot of that was Tom Pete, who was able to get a lot done before the September 30th date in terms of getting IEPs in place for kids who were transferring in and getting all the meetings that had to be done to get those in place. So.
Great.
Who's Tom Pete?
The special education coordinator.
Excellent.
Any questions on the financials? This month we start with the new salary increases, so you'll see that start to cycle into the financials. And this month we also start paying the bus contract as well. So a little bit of kind of foreshadowing that we'll see expenses increase on the balance of the year.
Excellent.
Okay.
Any questions? All right. May I have a motion, Steve?
Do I motion? It seems unfair that I would motion. I motion to approve the financials for September.
Sort of a conflict of interest.
Do I have a second?
Doesn't it?
I'll second.
Who seconds?
Lance.
A rushed second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Foundation update?
Not much to talk about other than the security, the cost of the security that we're putting in. Lance will tell you, or somebody will tell us about where we are with the state and the fund that the state created. But anything that the state doesn't picked up less of the $45,000 or $42,000 expenditure, the foundation will pick up, so it won't affect the school's financial results.
Nice. Thank you.
At the last meeting, I said we had about $400,000 in cash in the foundation. That still holds true. We're a little less than that, obviously, but not much less. No big bills have come in that I'm aware of. That's the end of my report.
Okay, great. Committee reports. So, a couple things. First of all, I handed out to everyone the updated committee. Sorry, there were so many mistakes on the emails. I apologize. I fixed the dates.
My mistake. Sorry.
It's okay. I think we're correct now. If we're not, bring it to my attention. And I was really pleased with the reports that we got. Thank you guys for doing that. Awesome work to get them in ahead of time so everyone had a chance to review them. Before the meeting, super, super good. So I'm just going to blow through them real quick and kind of just hit each one. Executive succession, there wasn't really nothing.
There was just the director of IDRU.
Yeah, which we're gonna look at down below.
Okay.
Finance, there was no CBOC, so.
And we did the finance.
Yeah.
Right.
Recognition is a part of. Really executive now. It is, however, a required committee in our board bylaws, so that's why it's here. Outreach, we have an excellent submitted written report. Lauren also included in the outreach report the dates for the upcoming town hall meetings, which that was great. Thank you. Building and grounds, great report. We're going to talk about security stuff in down below in old business. Program development. That's our committee that never met last year.
Correct.
Yeah, that should come off.
Okay, I think so too.
Because it was ad hoc, I think.
Yeah, let's just remove that. Athletics committee submitted. Legislative, do we have anything under legislative?
Nope.
We have, but legislative and policy are now one. But we did not submit a report.
Is so governance?
Legislative would include governance.
Okay,
well, so on here it's governance and it says in parentheses policy and legislative.
All right, so let's take legislative off and it's just governance then.
I think there's some legislative, state general
sentence. Yeah,
like,
but
we won't have an update until January.
Right. I do have, though, I will give a little bit of an update under that because I do have some news that I found out on my own, but I called Kendall to discuss it with her further, which is that The state of Delaware secured a $10.4 million federal grant to strengthen the state's charter school system. This is a grant that had been in place for many years, and then it was unfunded for the past probably 5 or 6 years, and now it's funded again. I called Kendall because I wanted to know how we could get some money.
Yeah.
And the whole idea behind this is to increase the number of seats in charter schools. So they do plan on, or they're anticipating two new charter schools getting funded. I think one of them will probably be Montessori Works, mm-hmm. and then one other new one, mm-hmm. but maybe two new ones.
Is Montessori Works the one that's coming down here?
It's coming to Seaford,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. But I did discuss with Kendall how we could get some funding, and I said, well, you know, we're interested in moving forward with a charter modification, yeah. a minor modification to increase yeah. our student count. And she thought that was a great idea, and yeah. that we should hold off on submitting until into December when this grant was more
solidified.
Yeah, and yeah. when they've had more conversations yeah. about how to... I had another idea, though, sort of an out-of-the-box idea, because it's really innovation mm-hmm. in collaborating between public, traditional public and charter schools, and then also seats. So I said to Kendall, so if we were to create a really innovative program for counseling with another middle school, for instance, like Georgetown Middle, could we perhaps get a counselor funded that way? And she thought that if it was an innovative program like peer-to-peer counseling or some kind of a cool program like that, that we could definitely expect that we, you know, could potentially get some funding for that. So that being said, I'm sort of keeping an eye on this and talking to Kendall about it, and I think we really need to, you know, think about how we can try to get some funds mm-hmm. out of this grant. So there's nothing really under governance. Nominating, nothing yet.
I'm sorry, let me just back. When does the charter school modification request have to be submitted by?
December 31st.
Oh, okay.
Stop. Can you announce, please?
Martin Cosgrove.
Vice President. Yeah, December 31st. So, I mean, we could submit as early as, I think...
November 1st.
November 1st, but I think we should, you know, hold off until a little... closer to the end of December.
Okay. It's ready to go, but it may change based on what you're telling me now.
The timing.
The application is done.
Right.
But I'll hold off, and it may have to modify it once you tell me what Kendall or, you know, would suggest we have to change it. I can send it to her and get her recommendation.
Yeah, I think it's the impact is in the numbers. How many seats we could add, and we in a minor mod, we cannot go over 10%, correct?
10 or 15.
I thought it was 10.
I think it's 10. So I just did the math real quick. We're adding, we're requesting to add about 85?
From 760 to 840.
Someone do that math.
It's 80 students.
Yeah.
80 seats?
So it's less than 10%.
Right. A little bit more than
10%. Okay. So...
Well, no,
it's 10. Yeah, it's 10%. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. But yeah, let's hold off and see if she would have us change it.
And then you can go like 5 or 6% over that, right?
Yes, you can
yeah.
go 5% above that.
Question, Steve?
Yeah, how do we ensure we're maximizing our opportunity there? I mean, is it you? Are you the person that's doing that?
Well, for now, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to be in touch with Kendall about this for sure. So when I guess when... She has, it really just got approved literally like a week ago.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to be developing, you know, committees at the state level mm-hmm. to, you know, and she's very involved at that, in those, you know, committees. So I'll just make sure that I'm really in touch with her about what, you know, how to move forward.
Is it a one-time payment, I guess? Like, is that how it works?
It's a five-year, is it a five-year?
Are you talking about the charter school program, the CSP?
We're talking about the
We're
grant.
We're just talking about the grant, like what the grant's all about.
That's what that is, unless this is another program.
Oh, it's 4 years. It's over 4 years.
So if we get Say they gave us 100 grand, we get 25 a year or something.
Oh, no, 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 no. I think when you apply, you get what you're getting. It's not, it's funded over 4 years. I think you could apply every year, maybe. I'm not exactly sure on that. So I have to bone up on the regulations and whatnot.
You know Heather's your peer mentoring.
Well, so I was just wondering, so in this application that's due, I guess, December